Laftor of Behar.
All right, now, now we put everything on now. Good morning. The Haftor of Parshat Behar. It's from Sefer Yirmiyahu. The Haftorah of this week, Parshat Bechukotai, is also from Yirmiyahu. We're going to get two looks at Yirmiyahu this week and in Yetz Hashem next week. Rather than talk at great length about what a fascinating Haftorah this is, we're just going to learn the Haftorah. And I just hope that I'll get to say everything that I want to say. Vayomi Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu said, Hayad dvar Hashem elai lemor, the word of God came to me saying. There's a little background. This is chapter 32, and it's Pasuk 6 in chapter 32. The first five psukim of chapter 32 give us the historical background. Number one, Yirmiyahu finds himself now b'chatzar hamatara. Chatzar hamatara, a jail, a dungeon, someplace deep below the palace of the king. You have to imagine in your mind's eye something like the Bastille, Jean Valjean, Les Miserables. There are people who are schlepping around in torn and tattered clothing. It's dark. Most probably there are rats skipping around. It's a terrible, terrible place. Yirmiyahu had been put in the Chatzar HaMatara. By the way, I think he may very well have been the first one who was put in administrative detention in Jewish history. He is being held there, the Pasuk says, because he's been walking the streets of Yerushalayim saying that the city is going to fall into the hands of the Babylonians. King Tzidkiyahu is going to be taken into captivity. And that's it. It's all over. It's all over. The psukim also tell us precisely when this is happening. It's in the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu, and it is the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar.
What?
The 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Churban HaBayit, the destruction of the first Bet HaMikdash, is going to take place a year from now, in the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu, which corresponds to the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar. We're even going to hear within the in the chapter itself, we're going to hear that Yirmiyahu talks about Hinei Hasololot Ba'u Ha'ir. The battering rams are already surrounding the city. It's very fascinating. He's down there, deep, deep below the palace of the king. And with his eyes, he sees what's going on all over. He knows exactly what's happening. It means the city that has already been in siege for 2 years, is being upgraded now. The siege is taking on a completely new character. We're getting ready for the main assault on the city. That's the background. That's the background. Vayomer Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu says, Hoyo dvar Hashem elai lemor, God had said to me so saying. You know what God has done? It means that he received this prophecy while he's down there in the dungeon. The word of God was to me the following, Hinei Hanameel ben Shalom dodecha bo'i lecho lemor. Your cousin, Hanameel, who is the son of Shalom, your uncle, is going to come. He is coming to you, and he's going to say the following to you. Please purchase my field that is in Anatot. Because the law says that you have the right, maybe even the responsibility, to redeem the field or to buy it. Let me give you a little bit more background. Anatot is in the land of Binyamin. Anatot is already in enemy territory. The Babylonians already have Anatot. You can imagine now, come sell to Yirmiyahu down in the prison, go sell him a piece of land. You know, this is worse than the Brooklyn Bridge, you understand? A lot of people bought the Brooklyn Bridge, but this... he asks him, and not only asks him, but he tells him that it's your responsibility to do this. By the way, this is Hashem telling him that this is what's going to happen. Yes? Mishpat HaGeula. So here, I have to take you to Parashat Behar. Behar says, one of the parashot in Parashat Behar is, Ki Yom HaChicha, if your brother is going to be in difficult straits, and he's going to sell his field, he'll have to sell his field because he needs money. Now, the fact is that ultimately when Yovel comes, the field is going to go back to him. But between now and Yovel, so there are a number of options, the Torah says. One option is that a member of his family should come and redeem the field and take possession and hold it for the owner. There is another possibility that at some point in time the owner himself is going to be able to raise enough money to buy the field back. But whenever we're talking about the sale of a field, there is no such thing as a field that is ever sold in perpetuity, forever. Because the overriding message of all of Parashat Behar begins at the very beginning of the Seder, that talks about the laws of Shemitah and Yovel, that we're not permitted to work the land in those years. And the underlying reason for everything is, Kili Kol Haaretz, the land belongs to me, God says. And therefore, since the land belongs to me, I'm the one who decides what happens with the real estate of that land. And one of the basic laws is that just about under all circumstances, land returns to its original owner, so that everybody should still have their share in Eretz Yisrael. There are other circumstances, for example, when one sanctifies his field, he says it should be Kodesh. It should belong to the Beit HaMikdash. Then if he does not redeem it and Yovel comes, it doesn't return to him in Yovel, but it goes to the Kohanim. So there's a mishpat, there's a law of redemption. That's what they're talking about. The mishpat of Geula. The word Geula does not mean over here.
But from whom did he have to redeem? What happened? What was the cause of his having to redeem it? That's what I thought.
Of who's having to redeem it? Because Hanamel, who is in need of money, is going to sell it to somebody else. But the first right of purchase should be given to family. So therefore, he comes to Yirmiyahu, and it's amazing that they let him in. Because they really, the fact is that Tzidkiyahu wanted Yirmiyahu, in fact, I mean, I'm not making a joke when I say that he wanted him in administrative detention, because Tzidkiyahu held that Yirmiyahu walking the streets of Yerushalayim while the city is under siege, and he's saying in the name of God that the battle is lost. It's all over. Do you know what kind of a negative effect that has on the defenders of the city? The king had that. It can't be. Can't be. Can't do it. We can't have Yirmiyahu walking around the streets saying that. So he's put in detention. So it wasn't simple that people were permitted to get into him. But this is all being divinely orchestrated. You understand, we're talking about one of the most surrealistic sales of all. You're going to have to imagine here this dark area deep below the king's palace. detainees, prisoners are walking around really in torn and tattered rags. And you know what's going to take place over here? A sale. We get machen business. Goes a real estate business. And what kind of real estate business? Real estate that for all intents and purposes isn't worth a cent. Watch. So he... Hirmio said, the word of God came to me that my cousin, Hananel, the son of Shalom, is going to come and say, buy the field. Vayavoy lai Hananel ben Dodi. And you know what happened? Hananel, my cousin, came, Kidvar Hashem, exactly as God said, El Chatzar HaMatara, he comes down there in the courtyard of detention, down below. Vayomer Elayin, he said to me, Knei, no, please purchase et Sodi Asher B'Anatot, my field that is in Anatot, Asher B'Eretz Binyamin, that is in the land of Binyamin. Land of Binyamin has already fallen long ago to the Babylonians. Ki lechom mishpat ha-Yerusha, because you, the law of inheritance applies to you, and because the law of inheritance applies to you, lecho ha-Geula, so you have either the right or the responsibility to redeem the field, knei loch, buy it. Vo'eda. I knew, of course, ki dvar Hashem, this is all the word of God. I mean, nobody in their right mind would buy this field. I purchased the field from Hananel, my cousin, who is in Anatot. The field that is in Anatot. In other words, they want to make sure. It sounds at some points, the psukim sound like a document. You know, there's the party of the first part and there's the party of the second part. And they have to tell you exactly where the field is. It's in Anatot. A number of times it's going to say that it's in the land of Binyamin. It's Gush 253, Chelka 17, number who knows what by Minhal Mekarke Yisrael. And he's selling. And I purchased it. And I weighed out the silver. It was Shiva Shkalim Vasara HaKesef. Precisely what would have been the value of this field. We're talking about coins of silver, which would have been the most probably the value of the field during some kind of a, I would say, real estate boom. Right now, it's bust. It's worthless. It's worthless. And I did it. Vechtov Basefa, everything was done legally. I wrote it on a document, Vechtov, and it was signed. Vo'oid Eidim, I can imagine two convicts in their tattered clothing over there are signing on this document. Maybe there's one candle, and by the light of this candle, they are writing this document. And I had witnesses, Veshkol HaKesed B'Moznayim. Somehow or other, there comes a scales, and they weighed out the money to make sure that this is 7 shekel and 10 coins of Kesef. V'ekachet Sefer HaMikneh et HaChatum, I took the document of sale and with the signatures, HaMitzvah V'HaChukim V'et HaGalui. Now, what all of these mean are different parts of the document. It was quite a fascinating way this document was put together. It seems that what they used to do is they would write the contract, then they would cover it over, staple it. In those days they didn't have staplers, so they sealed or sewed it together, and then the witnesses signed on the outside, and down at the bottom was the galui, the revealed part of the document, where in very brief form they would say what the contents of this was. If they ever had to check, they would open it up and they would check the witnesses and all the rest. All of this was done. And I gave this document of sale, I gave it to Baruch ben Neriah ben Machsia, le'enei Chanameel Dodi, in the eyes of Chanameel. The Mefarshim say that he doesn't really mean Dodi, you know, but as you know, everybody's a Dode to everybody else around this country. It most probably goes back to the days of Yirmiyahu. Anyway, I gave it to him. I gave it to Baruch ben Neriah, who is, this is the first time Baruch ben Neriah appears, and Baruch ben Neriah is the one who is going to be the leader of the Jewish people after Yirmiyahu. He's going to end up in Bavel, in exile. His great Talmud is going to be Ezra HaSofer, and Ezra HaSofer is not going to come back on Aliyah until Baruch ben Neriah, his Rebbe, dies. In the eyes of Chanameel, Ula Einei Ha'edim, in the eyes of the witnesses, HaKotvim B'Sefer HaMikna, who wrote their signatures into this document of sale, Le'enei Kol HaYehudim HaYoshim B'Chatzar HaMatana, in the eyes of all of the Jews, all of the detainees that are there. V'atzaved Baruch Le'eneim Le'mor, and in their presence, I commanded Baruch, saying, Ko'ar Hashem Tzvakot Elokei Yisrael. So says the God of hosts, the God of Israel, Korach Tasorim Ha'ele, take these documents. At Sefer HaMikta has there, Ve'etachatum, that Sefer HaGalui has there. All of these documents. Unitatem b'klei choras, you should give it, put it in an earthenware document, L'man yamdu yamim rabim, so that it should last for many years. He's taking this sale, or this purchase, very, very seriously. Any observer would think it's one big joke. Any observer would think these people are absolutely stark, raving mad. They're out of their minds. It's an enemy territory. Who says we'll ever be able to get to it? Now you buy real estate. And then he says, because so says the God of hosts, the Lekei Yisrael, the God of Israel, Od Yikonu Batim V'Sadot Uchramim Ba'aretz Hazot. There will yet come a time that they will purchase houses and fields and vineyards in this land. That's the message of this symbolic sale. Yirmiyahu is one of the prophets who is commanded by God to do all sorts of actions and deeds that are symbolic. Symbolism in a prophecy makes the prophecy concrete. It's not merely words anymore that you will buy fields and vineyards. The prophecy now becomes alive because the fact is that Yirmiyahu bought the field. I mean, we of course have the amazing perspective of history. We have the perspective of history. It was absolutely right. It was absolutely true. Oh, Yikonu, Batim, Sada, Sukhram, what are you talking about? The real estate market over here, you understand what you could have picked up for a song in the days of Yirmiyahu. If you'd lived so long, you'd be a multi-billionaire today. But of course it takes a great deal of a great leap of faith. For Yirmiyahu, the leap of faith is a bit easier because God has in fact instructed him to purchase it. I was at a meeting last night of Rabbanim, yesterday in the afternoon, of Rabbanim, by Rabbi Avraham Shapiro, and we had all of the rabbis of Gush Katif. One of the problems that they're dealing with now is the farmers have to plant. The farmers have to plant. What do you do? Banks don't want to give advance the money. It costs each farmer something like a $500,000 shekel in order to plant. Will he ever harvest what he's going to plant? What's going to happen with that money? what's going to happen? Nobody has a clue. Do you understand what kind of a... we need a Yirmiyo who's going to come down and say, Oh, Yikonu, Batim, Sados, Chromim. So what we decided on doing is putting together a large sum of money and give loans to the farmers, and we're also going to take a great leap of faith. It's not simple. And so people are walking around, what do I do? If I don't plant, then I'm giving up. I do plant. How many people can just throw out half a million shekel? What a dilemma. What an awesome, frightening dilemma. One of many. Here, Yirmiyahu goes ahead, and in Gush Katif, 3 months before the disengagement, he buys land. He goes, buys it up. End of story. Part one of story. With Palil El Hashem, now comes the prayer of Yirmiyahu. What a strange prayer. And that's what we're going to have to talk about. Before I should talk about it, I have my own approach. I have my own approach to it. With Palil El Hashem, I pray to God, Acharei Titi et Sefer HaMikneil Boruch Beneri Olemor, after I gave the document, after I gave the contract to Boruch Ben Neri Yisosei. You'll see in a moment how very important it is that he says that he prays after he gave the bill of purchase to Boruch Ben Neri. Aho Hashem Elokim, Vei, the Beini Shalelam. Hine ata sita tashamayim v'taretz, you made the heaven and the earth. B'chochacho ha'gadol, with your great strength, u'bezroach ha'anetuyo, and with your outstretched arm. Lo yipole mimcho kol dover, nothing is concealed from before you. Rebbeinu Shlilim, I have a problem. I have a problem. You are osei chesed alofim, you do kindness for thousands, u'mishalei mavon avot el cheg b'neihem achareihem. You punish the sins of fathers upon sons who follow in their father's footsteps. You hakel hagadol hagibah, the God who's great and in mighty, Hashem tzvakot shmo, the God of hosts, this is nice. Gedol ha'etzah. This description of God is awesome. Gedol ha'etzah, your counsel and your ideas, your thoughts are great. V'rav ho'aliliyah, your actions, what you have done, what you have done. Asher einech ha'pikuchot, your eyes are open and you see kol darkei b'nei adam, all the things that men do. Lotet li'ish kidrachov, to give each man as are his ways, v'chifri ma'alalav, and like the fruit of his deeds. That means there's a God that knows. These are basic and fundamental assumptions of Jewish belief, that God knows. There's hashgacha pratis, there's schar va'onesh, there's reward and punishment. Asher samto totem oftim beretz Mitzrayim, you made signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Ad hayom hazeh, we know about it until today. Ubi Yisrael ba'adam, you've made all sorts of miracles in Israel and in men. Vatas v'ch Hashem, you made yourself a great name, kayom hazeh. You took the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and taught them of them with signs and with miracles, with a strong hand, and an outstretched arm, and with great awesomeness. You gave them this land, that you swore to their fathers to give to them. You gave them Eretz Zavas Chalav Advash. Okay? When they came and they inherited the land, they didn't listen to you. They didn't go in your Torah. Whatever you commanded them to do, they didn't do. All of this evil happened to them now. Alright? I have a feeling that he's trying to jump the gun on the Rebbe Yisrael. I know all about it. I know all about it. You know, I know that they didn't behave themselves. They didn't behave themselves. But despite that, what are you doing? Hinei ha-sololot ba'u ha'ir. The sololot, they're the battering rams. They've come to the city, Lulachda, to capture the city. And the city is in the process of being given over into the hands of the Kazdim, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who are waging war against the city. It's also going to fall because there's sword in the city. People are being killed. There's hunger. There's pestilence. Everything you told us, everything you saw, it happened, and you can see it. And you said to me, Hashem Elokim, you tell me, under these circumstances, go ahead and buy the field with money for Ha'ed Eidim and have witnesses. What's the point of it all? The city has been given into the hands of the Kazdim. What's his prayer all about? What does he want? God had told him earlier, I want you to buy the field because the message is, Od yikonu batim sados uchramim baretz hazot. That was Pasuk 15, Pasuk Tet Vav. Ki ko omar Hashem tzakot l'kei Yisrael. And he tells it to the people in the prison, that he's doing this and God commanded him to do this because there will come a time at which they're going to buy and sell land in this country. So he's been told already what it's all about. Well, what does he want? What's he asking for? What's his prayer all about? What does he want to accomplish? Now there's one significant thing that we can learn. I think there's a great example of it. The prayer begins after he gives the document to Baruch ben Neriah. You know what that means? That means that Yirmiyahu has fulfilled everything that God demanded of him without question. He has fulfilled it completely, despite the fact that he may have all sorts of questions and doubts about it. But he does it all. You know what it reminds me? It reminds me of Avram Avinu. God tells him to take Yitzchak and bring him as a sacrifice on the Akedah. Avram fulfills everything that God says until he's stopped in his tracks. And the Medrash says, after it's all over, and he comes down from the Akedah, Avram addresses God and he says, You know, Rabbeinu Shlomo, that when you told me to take my one and only son and bring him as a sacrifice, you know that I could have asked you a very good question. I could have asked you the question, Etmol, yesterday you told me that Yitzchak is going to be the progenitor of a great nation, and today you tell me, bring him as a sacrifice. You know, I could have asked you a very, very difficult question, but I didn't. What Avram is saying is, I accept without question the word of God. I do first, and I ask later. Yirmiyahu does the same thing. Avram, you want me to buy the field? I did this absolutely, legally, perfect. Everything. He couldn't have had a better contract than that. By the way, the contract remains alive Ad HaYom HaZeh. Here it is. We have the chapter in Tanakh. What does he want in his prayer? You want me to purchase it, and the battering rams are now at the city, at the gates of the city. The city is in the process of falling. Didn't God tell you what it's all about? One of the Mefarshim says that. You have nothing here. I'll tell you when to go to the. These are just some notes that I wrote on my stickle paper. You don't have these notes there. Rabbi Yisachar Jacobson says that Yirmiyahu is a great believer. Of course, he's a great believer, but he's confused. He doesn't understand the Word of God, and in his confusion, in his inability to grasp, he turns to God. He doesn't understand the ways of God. It's like Moshe. Moshe asks God, "Tell me your ways. I want to understand your ways." Yirmiyahu doesn't understand the ways of God. God doesn't reprimand him for lack of faith. I still don't understand how that explains to us his prayer. I have a completely different approach to this prayer. I think that the key to unlock the strange chapter is because of one word that's missing. One word that's missing is the way to understand the chapter. And it's pointed out by our rabbis in the Gemara. If you take a look back into Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, Oseh Chesed La'alafim, God does kindness for thousands, U'mishalem Avon Avot El Cheg B'neihem, Achareihem, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora is missing. The Gemara says, now you may turn over to the other side. It's a Gemara that I've learned with you a number of times over the years in different contexts. But this is where it begins. The Gemara is down at the bottom of the page. You see where it's underlined over there, Domer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It's a great Gemara. It's a great Gemara. It's a Gemara that is so timely. It's unbelievable. It's contemporary relevance. Why were they called the men of the great assembly? Those who stood at the head of the Jewish people when they returned from the Babylonian exile. Why were they called the men of the great assembly? The Gemara answer is Shehechaziru Atorol Yoshna. They returned the crown to its original glory. What does it mean? What crown did they return to its original glory? Otto Moshe. Moshe came, and in Torah, when he plays to Hashem, he calls Hashem Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora, the great, the mighty, and the awesome. Also, Yirmiyahu came, and that's right here. V'omar, and he said, Nachli Mikarkerlin Behecholo. Here it is in the Kodesh HaKodashim. There are goyim in the Kodesh HaKodashim. Where is the awesomeness of God? Where is the fear of God? Lo Omar Nora. He didn't say Nora. Couldn't say it. He refers to God as a Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor. That's it. Also, Daniel, afterwards in Bavel, Daniel in chapter 9, prays to God. And you know what happened over there? Lo Omar Gibor. He referred to God as Hakel, Hagadol, but he couldn't call him Gibor. Nochni mishtabdim bebonav, goyim enslave his people, where is his might? So he didn't say Gibor. Also in who comes after Yirmiyahu and Daniel? After Yirmiyahu and Daniel come, the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, and they composed the Shmona Esrei. And what did they write in the Shmona Esrei? Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, v'Hanora. They returned the crown to its original glory. What Moshe said in Torah, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, v'Hanora, that's what they put into the Shmona Esrei. And why did they say that? So why did they do that? So he says, Omru, they said, Adarab, precisely the opposite. Zuhi gvurato. You know what God's might is? That he's able to control himself. Ezehu gibor, hakovish yitzro. He's able to control himself and he doesn't destroy the evil, those who enslave his people. Shenotein erech apayim l'rishoyim. Ve'elu hein noraotav. And you know how you see the awesomeness of God? Shel moli meroi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if not for the fear of God, heich uma achas yecholah litkayim bin ha'umot. How does this one little nation continue to survive amongst the nations of the world? If you want to see the awesomeness of God, that's where it is. The survival of the Jewish people. Then the Gemara asks, what gave Yirmiyahu and Daniel the right to leave out the word Noro or the word Gibor? Moshe Rabbeinu had said, HaKel HaGodol HaGibor VaNoro. Who gave them the right to delete it? Delete. Who gave them the right? V'Rabbonon Hechi Ovdi Hachi, the rabbis, Yirmiyahu and Daniel, how did they do this? V'Okri Takonta, and they uprooted a takona that Moshe had made? Amar Rav Loza, what a powerful, powerful answer. Amar Rav Loza. Rav Loza said, Mitoch sheyodin b'hakodesh baruch hu sha'amiti hu, because they know that God is truthful. Lefichach lo kizbu bo, they didn't lie to him. Rashi explains, Yirmiyahu sees churban. He sees destruction. He sees devastation. The Bet HaMikdash is in ruins. He doesn't see the fearsomeness and the awesomeness of God. So what's he supposed to be? Real frum. Kel HaGadol HaGibor HaNora. But he doesn't feel it. He doesn't feel it. He doesn't feel it. So he'd be lying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if he'd say Nora. I don't feel it. Daniel, if he would say Gibor, God is Gibor, it would be a lie. There is no mitzvah to say Noro when one looks at Auschwitz. What are you talking about? It's not Noro. It's the awesome Chilul Hashem of all time. Go be super frum and say, okay, la God, la Gibor, la Noro. Can't. Yirmiyahu is not a liar. He will not be untruthful with himself and with the question, because he knows exactly how he feels. Daniel sees the terrible situation of the Jewish people and that's all he can't say, Giba. God wants honest people standing before him. I once used this Gemara to explain some of the confusion of our own period in history. So I asked the following question. Were the Anshi Knesset HaGadolah greater than Yirmiyahu and Daniel? No. The difference between Anshi Knesset HaGadolah on the one hand and Yirmiyahu and Daniel on the other, they lived in a different period of history. They were already part of those who begin the return to Eretz Yisrael. Everything is beginning to look different. They're not standing at the smoldering ruins of the Beis HaMikdash. They're not looking at Jews who are enslaved. They see the dawn of a new day. Hope. When you look at it from that perspective, then you can say, okay, la God, la Gibor, va'anara. From Yirmiyahu's point, you can't say it. From Daniel's point of view, you can't say it. The confusion, or maybe the glory, of our generation is that we lived through Yirmiyahu, Daniel, and Anshi Knesset HaGdolah in the short span of 3 years. Not 70, 80, 90 years. 3 years, from 45 to 48. We went from Churban to Golus to Shivas Zion. It's awesome. So they looked at it from different perspectives. And I believe that this tefillah of Yirmiyahu is far, far different than any other prayer of all. Yirmiyahu knows exactly what God has in mind. God had told him, you're going to do this sale because this is going to be the prophecy. There are od yikonu batim besados uchromim baaretz hazos. People are one day going to buy and sell houses, fields, and vineyards in this land. This prayer and the word lihit palel also has a meaning of judgment, biflilim, Rashi says in Mishpatim. I think this beautiful prayer of Yirmiyahu falls into the category of something that Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu HaNavi also did. He's challenging God. It sounds like a frummy prayer. Rabbein Shalom, you made the heavens, you made the earth. Gidid Eises, Omosim, Mitzrayim, Hein, Her. But there's one point that he's making. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor. Rabbein Shalom, I'm not saying Nora. Your fault. The absence of that word is a challenge that he's throwing at God. This is not a prayer, please, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm so confused. I don't really understand what you have in mind. I don't know what's so difficult to understand. What's so difficult to understand? He can't understand a simple sentence in Hebrew. Which word didn't he understand? Kikor Hashem, so says God. Oh, yikonu, batem, sados, chrom, which word don't you understand, Yirmiyahu? He's challenging God. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu tells God, if you destroy the Jewish people, do you know what they're going to say about you in Mitzrayim? Mi bilti yecholos Hashem, God can't take them through the desert and he can't bring them to Eretz Yisrael. Shame, shame on God, he can't do it. Eliyo Bahar HaKarmel tells God, You are the one that made it difficult for Jews to serve you. You gave them so much wealth that the wealth went to their heads. Yirmiyahu is challenging God, and it's a profound challenge. You know, a God who's been used to being called Hakel Hagadol Hagibor Hanora, his closest servant refuses to say Nora. This is an attack. And I want to show you that I believe what I'm saying has a measure of truth. That I'm saying in all humility, I think it's very true. Because watch what's going to happen. It's not in the Haftorah, that's why you have a second page. Yeah, well. Yes. Sure. Unfortunately, for the world to continue to exist, God has to restrain himself. Because would he crush evil as it rears its ugly head? There's no point in all of creation. And there's no point in having human beings. If the first moment that somebody does evil, God brings all of his wrath and his anger down upon them, then we can pack up and go back home. There's nothing left in this world. God is running a world in which he has to restrain himself. He has to remove himself. He has to contract in order to allow the world to continue normally. Because if God forbid, the moment somebody does evil, they're struck down, there will not be any evil in the world. And there'll be no point to man. It'll all be meaningless. So that means for a world to exist, he must restrain himself. He must be Erech Apayim. He has to be Rav Chesed Ve'emes. There's no other way. There's no other way. Until V'hoya Hashem LeMelech Al Kol Ha'aretz, when God will be king over the whole earth, then Hashem Echad U'Shvar Echad. V'olu Moshim Be'Har Tzion Lishvotos Ha'Esav, when all of mankind is going to be judged, when the end of history as we know it comes, then God can do all of that. But through the course of history, there's no such thing. We want evil to be punished, and we want evil to be struck down, but the fact is that it just doesn't work that way. And it never worked that way. And it was never intended to work that way. Because there would have been no purpose in all of creation. I'm going to take you on a shtickel journey, Allah. Just follow with the finger. I always say, you know, like my Rebbe told me in grade one, I've held in the finger. I'm going to read for you parts of the rest of the chapter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Yirmiyahu. And then you're going to see how I read the response. By the way, the response begins on the first page. The one we just said, the Haftorah ends by Yidvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu Leymar. The word of God came to Yirmiyahu saying, Hinei ani Hashem el Kei Kol Basa. I am God, the God of all flesh. Hamimeni Yipolei Kol Dover? Is anything concealed to me? What are you talking about? That's how Yirmiyahu started his prayer. And he said, God, lo yipolei mincha kol davar, nothing is concealed from you. So what's going on over here? What don't I know? So now again, next page. Vayhi dvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu lemar. Hinei ani Hashem elokei kobosa mimeni yipolei kol davar lachein ko amar Hashem. Ko amar Hashem. So I want to tell you, from this Ko Amar Hashem, which is Pasuk 28, until the end of Pasuk 35, there's going to be a litany, a listing of all the terrible sins that the Jewish people had committed. I'll run quickly. Hinei ani Hashem elokei kol basa, hamimeni yipolei kol davar, lachein Ko Amar Hashem. I'm going to give this city into the hands of the Babylonians, and into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, and he will capture the city. The Kazdim who are waging war against the city are going to come, and they're going to ignite this city in fire, and they will burn it, and the houses upon whose roofs they brought incense to Baal, and brought libations to other gods, in order to anger me. Ki hoyu bnei Yisrael bnei Yehuda ach osim hara b'yeinai min yureyem bnei Yisrael and bnei Yehuda did that was which was evil in my eyes from their youth. Ki bnei Yisrael ach mach isim al ti b'masi yedeim, they anger me with what they do. No, Hashem, says God. Now listen to a pasuk that's just unbelievable pasuk, and I understand why this was not part of the Haftorah. Ki al api v'al chamasi ha'isoli ha'ir hazos limin ha'yom asher bonu ato v'ad yom hazeh lohosira me'al panai. Because this city has been to me a provocation of my anger and my fury from the day that they built it until this day, that I should remove it. I mean, gosh, what he says about Yerushalayim, it's unbelievable. I'll call Raz B'nai Yisrael, all of the evil, and I tell you, it keeps going and going. It's such a terrible description of all the things. And it goes till Lamed Hay. Now watch this. You see there's a pause over there? Vato. Now, he's been pouring out all of his wrath and his anger. Vato. Now, you have to figure out how this is going to fit in. Lachain Kamar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, so says the God of Israel. Elohir Azos, to this city, Asher Atem Omrim, that you say, Nitno Biyad Melech Bavel, has been given into the hands of the king of Bavel, Bacherev Uvarov Vadeva, because of the sword, the famine, and the pestilence. I'm going to gather them in from all of the lands that I sent them out by anger and my wrath, and with great fury. I'm going to bring them back to this place, and I will establish them here in security. They will be a people unto me, and I will be unto them as a God. I will give them one heart and one way lead to fear me. Call Hayomim all the days they will fear me, and it's going to be good for them to their children afterwards. And I'm going to make an eternal covenant with them that I will never turn away from them, to continue doing good for them. My fear I will give in their hearts, they will never turn away from me. And I will be full of joy to be good to them. And I will plant them in this land in truth with my whole heart, my whole soul. Do you hear what's going on over? I mean, is this precisely the exact opposite of what God was saying? I'll tell you how I understand. Yirmiyahu has challenged God. Sorry, you're not Nora. You've done something terrible. This is not the awesome and fearsome God of all. Do you know what God's response is? God is pleading with Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, it's a terrible thing I'm doing. Please understand me. I want you to understand me. I can't help it. There's been such evil in this city. I can't help it. I'm torn apart. Not only you have problems, I have problems. You're confused because I tell you to buy a field in land that has already been conquered. How do the two live together at one moment? I mean, like it's a stark contradiction. The city is being given into the hands of the Babylonians, and I'm telling you to buy real estate. So tell you, you have to understand my suffering. Not only you suffer, Yirmiyahu, I suffer too. I suffer on the one hand because what can I do? Ad kan. I've sent them the Nevi'im day in and day out. Look what bothers me. V'ato lochem. Lochem means therefore. Therefore what? Therefore God wants to say that whatever I've done, as painful as it is, was done out of profound love for a people that I can't wait to bring them back here. I can't wait to make a new covenant with them. Give them a new heart. Make sure that they will never turn away from me. The same confusion that's going on in the mind of Yirmiyahu is going on in the mind of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defending himself because Yirmiyahu didn't pray to him. Yirmiyahu challenged him. Yirmiyahu says, I'm sorry. You're not Nora. You permit something of this sort to happen, that's not Nora. Watch the dividend. Yirmiyahu's challenge of God is going to bring about something that was worth it all. It was worth it all. Watch. Kiko Amar Hashem. So says God. Just as I brought all of this evil upon this people, I will also bring all of the good that I've said about them. Now, listen. Listen to the promises that Yirmiyahu has elicited from God by virtue of the fact that he challenged them. You know what's taking place over here? There were two deals that were struck. Yirmiyahu purchased a field. You know how you do it in the Middle East? You know, little give and take. But God, with regard to the purchase of the field, that was the one place where Yirmiyahu doesn't bargain. Doesn't say, nah, I'll give you 5 shekel. No. 7 shekel and 10, no. He does it. Pays for it in full. But when it comes to the Chumashim, you know what he's doing? There's going to be Middle East bargaining over here. Rabbeinu Shalilim, you're just plain not Nora. That's all. God now wants to explain himself. And after he explains himself, listen to what he says. V'nikna hasadeh ba'oretz hazot, fields will be purchased in this land. Asher atem omrim, you say about this land, shmomahi, it's desolate. Me'ein odamu behemon, no man or animal. You say about it, nitna biyat hakazdim. By the way, God has a number of times said, nitna biyat hakazdim, because that hurt him. Yirmiyahu had said that. You want me to buy a field in this city or around this city that's nitna biyat hakazdim? So Roshim gets back at him, yeah, that place that's nitna biyat hakazdim, one day they're going to purchase fields over here. Ah, sados bakesef yiknu, they will purchase fields with money. V'chatov basefer, and they will write it in documents, v'chatom and sign. V'ho eid edim, and they will have witnesses who are going to witness the documents. Be'edetz binyamin, in the land of binyamin, u'besviveh Yerushalayim, and around Yerushalayim, u'ba'orei Yehuda, u'ba'orei Ahor, u'ba'orei Ashvela, Yehuda, the whole Sharon, u'ba'orei HaNegev, and the cities of the Negev, ki yashuv et shvutam lom Hashem, because I'm going to bring them back. You know what he got out of the Rabbi Yishon? Not this vague, old, yikonu, batim, sados, uchramim, barzalim. Someday, they're going to buy fields and da da. No. You know what he gets from the Rabbi Yishon? He elicits from him a just as precise as his document of purchase was. He wants from the Rabbeinu Shlalem a very precise commitment. We don't want vague commitments someday that they'll buy real estate. He gets a commitment for every part of Eretz Yisrael. This city, Binyamin, the Negev, the Har, the Shvela. That's what Yirmiyahu wanted to accomplish. That's precisely what he wanted to accomplish. And you know how he accomplishes it? Because he challenges God. I'm sorry. It's because of his truthfulness that he cannot say when he sees Churban, it's, wow, God is so Nora. He's not Nora. Not Nora. I'm reading Rabbi Lau's memoirs or autobiography. I finished 100 pages. I think I cried for 100 pages. I tell you, I haven't had such sustained being choked up in a long, long time. And little by little, I'll get one little piece into one shear, another piece into another shear. I look at that man in a completely different way, completely different way. What he went through, it's unbelievable. I was probably one of the youngest children that survived the Holocaust. He was just before, I think, his 8th birthday when he was freed in Buchenwald in April of 1940. It's unbelievable, unbelievable story. And the only comment that he ever makes about the Shoah is, Lama, why? He doesn't give any pat answers. He doesn't say, well, it was Ritzon Hashem, it was Hashgach Pratis, it was, but the Lama, 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 Lama. There's one scene that had me crying like a little baby. His brother Naftali is the one who's 5 years It's unbelievable, the Mesiras Nefesh. His mother told him, take care of Lulek, take care of And it seems at one point, if it's 3 years, 4 years, they're in Buchenwald, he's put in one side of the camp, Rav Lau is in another side, the seven-year-old boy, he doesn't know how to read or write. Hadn't learned how to read or write. Or speak. I think he's done a pretty good job. I think he knows how to read. He knows how to write. He knows how to speak. He didn't know anything. He knew some Polish. Hardly knew a Hebrew word. And there's a real fear that they're going to be permanently separated. So he calls them, they meet at the barbed wire. And at the barbed wire, he says to his younger brother, I want to tell you, so you have to know, that one of these days we're going to be freed. I don't know where I'm going to be. I want you to learn two words. Don't ever forget these two words. Eretz, Zog Eretz, Yisrael, so. Anybody's going to want to take you any place, don't go any place in the world. Just keep saying Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. Don't go any place. Don't let anybody talk you into anything. Eretz Yisrael. I was a basket case when I finished reading that. And that's ultimately what happened. So he doesn't ask, he doesn't say, Nora, what are you talking about? You can't say Nora. Yumiyo can't say Nora. Can't say it. It's out of the question. It can't be done. There's no mitzvah to say Nora. We're in the position, of course, that we can say, okay, Lagodol, Agibavar Nora. Yirmiyahu's tefillah was not a tefillah in the normal sense. It was rather Yirmiyahu challenging God, bringing him to a dinteiche in Himmel by the Rabbeinu Shalaylam. Why are you doing this? And therefore the Rabbeinu Shalaylam is on the defense. And in his defense, he gives this whole litany of sins that, you know, just sounds really, I'm afraid to say, boring. Anybody who's learned Yirmiyahu until chapter 32 has heard this, and Yirmiyahu has heard it over. Okay, if I'd be Yirmiyahu, I can imagine saying, okay, I know already. I know. Let's get to the bottom line. Let's get this straight. The bottom line, of course, comes when the Rebbeinu says, O dikanu batim sados uchramim ba'aretz hazos in Yerushalayim ubesivat Yerushalayim ube'eretz binyamin uba'adei ahar uba'adei hanegev uba'adei ashrela. As soon as Yirmiyahu hears that, he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, okay, you signed up the dotted line, that's what I wanted to get.